Welcome to Tori Mecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Siddi Zuckerman, and today we'll be learning Parshas Bamidbar. Imagine you're part of an incredible team working on the research and rollout of a newly discovered cure for cancer. It's a brilliant, humble group. No ego, no chasing fame, no politics or red tape getting in the way. Everyone is focused on the mission. Each member has been personally touched by cancer, and that shared experience fuels their passion. From the CEO to the secretary, everyone embraces their role. Let's keep that image in mind as we begin Sefer Bamidbar, the journey of the Jewish people in the wilderness. In Shemos and Vayikra, we became a nation and received the Torah, its laws, values, its vision. The Nitziv explains that Sefer Bamidbar is a bridge, a transition from receiving the Torah to entering Eretz Yisrael, where Hashem's vision for humanity was meant to be fully realized, that of a society built on chesed u'mishpat, kindness and justice, in the context of deep and authentic service of Hashem. At the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, we see the formation of a kind of dream team meant to carry out that vision. But imagine if that cancer research team that we had mentioned started to unravel. There's ego creeping in, infighting, maybe even a questionable steakhouse dinner on the foundation's credit card. Lahavdil, that can give us a sense of what begins to go wrong in Sefer Bamidbar. The Jewish people were meant to move smoothly from the miraculous life in the desert into the more subtle, natural reality of Eretz Yisrael, but they weren't ready. The transition required more time, more growth, and more opportunities to build their spiritual muscle. They needed a different path. I just want to note that the ideas that we're going to discuss are based on Rav Moshe Shapiro and the Sefer Mimamakim. Now, it's important to remember that Chazal calls this generation the Dor Deya, the generation of Das. Das is often translated as knowledge, but it's really much deeper and more complex. It's the integration of understanding into lived experience, which creates deep internal connection. Das is tied to the seichel, the higher wisdom that's connected to the neshama, the soul. You can think of it almost as the CEO of the human system, guiding and aligning our thoughts, emotions, drives, actions, reactions. The Dor HaMidbar was characterized by a consistently high level of das. They lived with a constant sense of clarity and connection. In fact, their supernatural reality, the clouds of protection, the pillar of fire, the well of Miriam, reflected that level of connection. So even though there were a few mistakes over those 40 years, we can't really grasp the spiritual level of that generation. Comparing them to us is like comparing a child whose hand slips during a craft project to a skilled surgeon, heart surgeon, whose hand slips during surgery. The expectations, and of course the consequences, are on entirely different levels. Parshas Bamidbar describes how the nation was carefully organized into a structured camp. This wasn't just logistical, it both reflected and reinforced their focus. The people were arranged into four camps, each with three shvatim, three tribes, surrounding the Mishkan. Each group had its own flag, representing its unique character and role within the larger mission. At the center stood the Mishkan, with the Aron HaBris, the Ark, that held and symbolized the Torah. Its central position directed everyone's focus. Torah is the heart of our lives and our mission. A large portion of the Parsha is devoted to counting the Jewish people. And there's even a second count later in the Sefer. In fact, Sefer Bamidbar is also called Sefer HaPikudim, the Book of Counting. But why is there such an emphasis on counting? It seems so technical compared to the lofty ideas of Das and connection. To understand this, let's look more closely at the root of the word lispar, to count. The root is Samach Perish. There are two other words that share a root with the word lispar. One is sefar, which indicates a boundary, a separation, or a designation of something. And the other is sapir, which refers to bringing things together to reveal a shared purpose. Think of a carpenter building a table. First, he sets aside specific pieces of wood, that's Sefer, and then he joins them together into a finished table, that's Sapir. When you see the table, you understand the purpose behind each individual piece. So Samach Peirish means set aside in order to join together to reveal a purpose. When we apply this idea to the counting of the Jewish people, we can see that the counting of the people is not just a technicality. Counting is exactly the means through which each person's specific place and role within their shevet is designated by first highlighting their role as an individual. And so the message is, I know who I am and I matter as an individual, and then I'll use my resources and my abilities, my intellect, my money, my artistic ability, to attach and subsume myself into something so much bigger than myself, the project of Kvod Shemayim, of increasing Hashem's honor. The physical layout of the camp facilitated this mindset. Everything centered around the Mishkan and the Aron, constantly directing a person's das, their deliberate and connected awareness and focus toward Hashem's Ratzon, toward his will. This framework was meant to lead the Jewish people from Midbar Sinai, from the Sinai Desert, to Eretz Yisrael in the span of a few days. That was plan A. But we know it didn't happen that way. Instead, there were 40 years in the wilderness. As we study Sefer Bamidbar, we'll explore what went wrong and the process of repair and reconnection that did allow them to eventually inherit the land, although there were adjusted terms. One opinion in the Gemara in Shabbos 115b explains that Sefer Bamidbar is made up of three sections, marked by the unusual upside-down nuns in Parshas Mahalosra. The nuns divide Sefer Bamidbar in half into two different stories, two different types of experience. These two sections actually form a template for all of Jewish history. Let's explain. Imagine you're driving to an important meeting and you missed your exit. Maybe you were spacing out, maybe you glanced at your phone, and now you're on a detour. Barely paved, winding roads, fallen branches, mud, sand, maybe a storm. Sometimes there's a flash of lightning and you can see clearly for a moment. The first section of Sefer Bamidbar is like the smooth beginning of that drive. In the early parshios, Bamidbar, Naso, and part of Balusha, the people are organized, focused, and aligned with Hashem's will. And this parallels the era in Jewish history of the first Beis HaMikdash, a time of clarity, prophecy, and open revelation. But as we move along in Sefer Bamidbar, the Jewish people miss the exit, so to speak. The second section of the Sefer is filled with struggle, confusion, and setbacks. We have numerous troubling incidents and a process of ups and downs where the Jewish people need to learn to reconnect so that they can enter the land. This second section parallels the time in history that is the period of Galus after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, so a lot of what we think of as Jewish history, which from a spiritual perspective is a time of distance, hiddenness, and greater disconnection from spirituality. Yet throughout that long, painful, and circuitous journey through history, the Jewish people have continued working to reconnect and repair our relationship with Hashem. So we've touched on a few key ideas so far. One, Das on the model of the Dor Dea. Two, the Jewish people as a unified, purpose-driven team with each individual playing a role. And three, the two paths, the ideal journey and the detour, both in the desert and in Jewish history. Amazingly, what ties all these ideas together is the counting. The Jewish people are counted twice in Sefer Bamidbar. The first count happens with the organization of the camp at the time of Hashras HaShechina, when Hashem's presence rests within the Jewish people. This is a time of the revelation of Hashem's kingship, and the Jewish people are lovingly counted. Remember our definitions. They are both set aside and then joined together to reveal a purpose, the purpose of creation, which is the revelation of Hashem's presence in the world. This counting reveals the immense love that Hashem has for us, the Jewish people, as part of that open revelation of Hashem's presence in the Mishkan. But there's a second counting at the time of Chiluk Haaretz, the division of the land at the end of the Sefer. This count comes after there have been chata'im, sins, lapses, and stumbling. This second counting carries a powerful message that Hashem's enormous love for us is still there after sin, when we're in galus. Our circumstances, our context might be different, but even in times of darkness, confusion, or distance, our mission remains the same. Each of us has a unique role within that mission. Now, today, no one spells it out for us. There's no Nasi of our Shevet to tell us, and so we have to discover it ourselves. We can look at our strengths, our challenges, our circumstances, and ask, how can I specifically contribute? Maybe it's using your business experience to do chesed, or drawing on your own challenges to be more present for others. It could be your good sense of aesthetics, your organizational skills, or your depth of feeling channeled into your davening. There's so many ways to intentionally use what we've been given. And we're the only ones who could do that inner work, thinking honestly and deeply about our place in that big, meaningful project of being Marbek Vod Shemayim. We can choose to deliberately build our das, the ability to direct ourselves toward what truly matters. I encourage you to take a few minutes with a pen and paper and reflect on this personally. And remember, Hashem's chiba, his deep and enduring love for us, is intertwined with our role in the most meaningful mission that there is. Thank you for learning together.